Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Holy Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We are so grateful for Christ, for your love for us, the grace you've extended. And dear Heavenly Father, your desire to make us new, to change us, to set us free from who we were to be in Christ. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will help us understand that, acknowledge that, receive that, and implement that in our lives. Please, Father, it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and open up your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. The principles we're going to be discussing here in this section are principles that you are to use by faith to break the poor behavior. Let me put it better. The ungodly behavior. The ungodlike, unchristlike behavior that so many times we find ourselves participating. Now watch, we really don't want to be in it. If you're a child of God, you sure shouldn't. But we find ourselves falling into those traps and yielding to our passions and our desires. I call it the empire of desire. And boy, I'll tell you what, you live in a society that chases after their desires. You live in a very existential society, even though it's postmodern and progressive, moving into a nihilistic kind of thing. But it's driven by the authority being self. We're in a society where self becomes its own authority instead of God. Our feelings become the reason we do or don't do what we do instead of what is true that Jesus revealed. By the way, Jesus, He said, I'm from above. You're from below, as He was talking to the Jew. In other words, I come from heaven. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Where did Christ seat us? In what realm? The heavenly realms. We're no longer of this world. Now, sometimes we act like we belong in this world, but we're not supposed to be of this world. So let's begin in chapter 4 of Ephesians, starting in verse 17. He says, Now this I say, and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. By the way, don't you understand how futile it is if your feelings, what you want, what man says is so, who's finite, is the authority by which you do the things that you do in your life. How futile that is, because that just becomes a gratuitous circle. It's of this world. It doesn't have a lot of truth. It's based on everything from greed and envy and anger and lust and pride. It's what it's based on. He says, Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding. Well, why are they darkened? Why are they walking in a dark place? What they understand that they accept or use to govern and gauge their life is not the light of God. It's not what Jesus taught. Jesus exposes the darkness of man. And so he makes that really clear that if I do the things of men, I am purposely and intentionally walking in darkness. Because it's not from above. It's from below. And I then become the one whose father is not from above. You've got to watch that. He says, They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. By the way, he's not talking about doctrinal ignorance, okay? In the sense that, they don't know Bible facts and Bible information. That's true, they don't. And that's part of the reason why that they are what? Ignorant. Ignorant of what? A way of life that God revealed in Christ. God, Jesus revealed a way of life. He changed the paradigm. He changed the way things were going to be. He changed how the world sees it and does it. He says, alienated from God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. You know, you can get to the point that you don't listen to God anymore. And what you listen to are your circumstances. are your feelings. And you're controlled by one, maybe by both. And so now you're not listening to God. By the way, the Gentile doesn't listen to God. The unbeliever really doesn't listen to God. You and I are to listen to God. Because He's trying to set us free from what? What we were. Remember, He not only took away my sins, He raised me to a new what? Life. Oh, you mean it's just not about being forgiven of your sins? I'm forgiven of my sins by my faith that I submitted to Christ when I buried the old man of sin, admitting that I was a sinner, and I believed that God would raise me to a new life, wash away my sins, give me God's Spirit, and I would have a new life. It's about a new life, folks. You get it? Life. If I'm going to keep the faith, I need to keep the life. I cannot keep the faith and not keep the life. The life, if it's not lived, does not make the faith that you know of in the Scriptures valid. As far as you're concerned, as far as you are concerned, it becomes empty. He says, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance of them, due to the hardness of the heart. They have become callous and have given themselves to sensuality, greed, practice every kind of impurity. By the way, you've got to be real careful about becoming callous. You keep doing things over and over again, and they don't seem to prick your conscience as much as they used to. And you start becoming callous to certain behaviors that you engage in to either justify, support, or implement your agenda. And you become callous in those things. And then you begin to overlook them, and you're not touched by them like you were before. He says, they have themselves given up to sensuality, greed to practice every kind of impurity. By the way, well, I don't practice every kind of impurity. Well, let me ask you a question. When you treat somebody in an unchristlike way, you don't think that's impure? When the word purity and pure has to do with you seeing people the way God sees them? So when you say that thing you shouldn't say, you don't think that's impure? Oh, yes, it is. I thought I was supposed to let what comes out of my mouth be grace. Be what God would say. Oh man, that really does it right there. You're looking at your wife or your husband, maybe a friend in some kind of relationship, and you start to let something come out of your mouth because you've been hurt, really you end up being angry, and you want to do something about it and you want to say something. Is that what God would say? Don't say what God wouldn't say. Do you realize what that'll save you from? It'll save you from yourself, and it'll save you from all kinds of trouble if what comes out of your mouth is what God would say. He said, well, I just won't say anything. Well, then that's another problem, because you're supposed to say the things that are true. You're not supposed to lie to each other. He says, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. Watch this now. To put off your old self. Oh, wow. You mean I have to take ownership of putting off the old self? Why did He say put off the old self if I can't put off the old self? By faith, I can put off the old self. I can trust what Jesus says. I can try it. I can implement it. I can practice it. And by doing so, I put off the old man. I'm supposed to put him off. By the way, it is a choice. It's a choice. He says, verse 20 again, but this is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you've heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. By the way, where is the truth? Somebody tell me. Is it in Jesus? Oh, what do you mean in Jesus? Why don't you take a look at who He was, what He did, what He said, how He did it, what He was about? That's in Jesus. It's in His life you see truth. That's truth. Not the fact that you can quote 100 passages or that you can pass a Bible exam. The truth is in Jesus. It's Jesus that is the truth. What you see there. Do you understand that whenever Jesus went to the cross, that cross would have meant nothing if he had not sacrificed his life in a process of living for those that he loved, the cross would have been meaningless. The cross only has validity because he gave up his life for you and I, in his living for us, in his serving of us. He even tells Peter, "You do as I have done unto you." You see, truth is in Jesus. Now, I have to go to the book to find out about Jesus. But truth is in his life. Why do you think John says, if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another? Why did he say, I'm supposed to walk like Jesus? Walk with Jesus. Because you see, in the way he did things, that's what's true. That's the truth. He said, if you abide in my teaching, you know the truth will set you free. Well, if you'll read John chapter 8, you'll see that the truth in that chapter is Jesus. Oh, you thought it was some doctrinal point? Why don't you try the truth being the life of Jesus? Who he was, what he was, how he was, why he was. That is what is truth. He exposed all mankind. If he hadn't have come, he said, you know, men wouldn't have admitted their sin. Well, they certainly wouldn't have. But now you've got this example walking around, and he was everything that was the opposite of what even the religious were saying. He's the truth. Live it. Walk with him. It's no longer I that liveth, but who? Christ. The Apostle Paul didn't say, it's no longer I live, but the doctrinal information that I have from the Bible. That doctrinal information means nothing if you're not willing to live the life of Christ. It will not get you in heaven. But if you understood the doctrine properly, you would know that it's about Jesus and about that life that you're to incorporate in your own life as you live for Him. Because that's the only thing that will change you and I, is the life of Jesus. Now, I need to believe it. That might be the problem. You don't believe it enough to put it into practice. You don't believe it enough to move it past your wants and your desires and your passions. That might be the problem. You know, when you really understand the truth, and that truth being Jesus, boy, it puts a hole in legalism. And it puts a hole in progressivism. That's what's wrong with the church today. People aren't living the life of Christ. Because you see, that's the truth. Words are cheap. Talk's cheap. I vote with my feet. Where my feet go, where they take me. How I go through life proves whether or not I believe that Jesus is Lord, that He died for my sins, that He cleansed me, that He's my advocate, and that I am to be like Him for the saving of my soul because it separates me from the old man. That could cost me my soul. You know, if the church understood that, church would live different. Church wouldn't be so judgmental. You wouldn't be looking to find some doctrinal point to prove how right you are as opposed to somebody else. And you wouldn't be comparing yourself against other people because there's only one you better compare yourself with. And when you do, you find out how wanting you are and you are very appreciative of the grace of God then. Amen? Get so tired of hearing preachers get up and preach about everything but Jesus and think they're preaching the truth. I don't want to hear your doctrine if it's not wrapped around the life of Jesus. Because it's not the doctrine of God if it's not wrapped around the life of Jesus. Somebody tell me who the main focus of the Bible is on. Jesus. The Messiah to the Christ. I mean, Jesus Himself says it. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light. Lest his deeds should be exposed. Everybody, well, you know, the light's the doctrinal truth I hold. No, the light is the life of Christ that he is requiring that you walk in to set you free from you, which was his intent and purpose to do. so that you could be free of all the shackles of the world that you've put on yourself. And that way you would reach out to those that are lost. You would reach out to those that were weak. You would love your wife, your husband, your children, your family, your grandparents, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you would even love your enemy. He did command that, didn't he? I believe he did. He says, verse 22, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Oh, you mean that Jesus' main issue with you and I is to help you and I overcome our evil desires so we could become implements and instruments of God in the ministry of reconciliation to lead people back to Christ and to save those that are around us and be a light to the world and a salt to the earth. Amen. You see, that's the truth. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Oh, wait a minute. You mean I'm to put off the old self so I can be renewed in the spirit of my mind? Watch this now. And to put on the new self? You mean there's a new self I'm supposed to be putting on? You know, you might be very articulate in talking about all of the doctrines of God, everything from baptism to worship to you name it, and still be a whited sepulcher full of dead men's bones because you're not about putting on the life of Christ to touch the lives of others. Because see, it's easier just to deal with doctrinal issues and not people. Because some people, you deal with them, it's going to cost you time, energy, effort, sacrifice, and money. So we run around telling everybody, we talk about the church instead of Jesus. How can you appreciate the church if you hadn't talked to them about Jesus? Church did not die for me and shed its blood. Jesus did. And because of Him, I'm added to the called out. I've been called out of that old way of life to put on that new self and to act like my Lord. To love God and my neighbor. And even love myself enough to love God and my neighbor. It's a new self. Now, you've always had the potential to put on the new self. But you and I have not always decided on those daily basis to put on the new self. You might want to start now before it's too late and you become so callous you're not moved or motivated to put on the new self, which is an act on your part of faith by you trying out the life of Christ and practicing it because you vote with your feet. Don't be like politicians. They'll tell you everything in the world they're going to do. Go check their voting record. Well, are you ready for this? You stand before God, your voting record will be checked. Not what you said you believed, but what you lived that you believed. And how you lived it. And quit being wanting to be so dead right on everything and end up dead wrong because there's no love involved because you're really not about people. You're just about justifying some place you hold in Scripture or in some group. Now, believe it or not, there are people don't want to hear that because they might have to deal with the unchristlike things in their life that they don't want to take ownership of. And that's what impacts their relationships. That's what impacts their work. That's what impacts their family. You've really got to get over the old man, the old woman. You have got to let it go. It's not worth your soul to stay there. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God. Watch this. In true righteousness. Who's the righteousness of God? What's true righteousness? Jesus. It's not some act that you've done and that you're part of, because you can't perform righteously and flawlessly all the time. It's Jesus he's talking about. Jesus is the righteousness of God. He made it possible that I have a relationship with God, and he's made it possible that if I listen to him, I can change. And I can be an instrument of my Father. Because I do love what he has done. And by the way, when you put the life of Christ into practice and you see how it does change you, you realize that Jesus and the apostles told the truth. I don't care how many Greek words you can parse. How good you are exegetically. I'll never forget when I was a young man, I could read Greek. In fact, one time in my life I had enough pride I preached out of the Greek Bible. I repented. Don't be fooled by the old man, the old woman. Don't be fooled by what you want, what you think, or how you think it should have been if it's not what God's will is. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. What falsehood? Pretending that you belong to Christ, but you're really not wanting to implement that new self. Quit acting like you're a Christian, but you haven't put off the old man and put on the new self that acts and responds and believes in what Jesus said was the true way to live. You know, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. If you're not a foot washer, you have no part with Jesus. If you can't wash the dirty feet, and I'm using this as an analogy, of those who are around you, you have no part with you. If you can't serve them, make a difference in their life, you have no part in Jesus. If you can't make a difference in your husband's life, in your wife's life, in your children's life, in your brother's sister's life, you have no part with Jesus. Because you were baptized? Well, guess what? When you were baptized, who owns baptism? Whose work is it? It's God. He rose you to life. Now, when He rose you to life and gave you that life, there was an expectation that you believed that you had a new life. And now you purposely want to implement that. Why? Because you love your neighbor. You love those that are around you. You want to be the salt of the earth. He said, you're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. Gives light to everyone in the whole house. So he says, do those good deeds that your Father in heaven may be praised. What do you mean, that may be praised? Well, if I do those good deeds and he's praised, it's not the literal deed I'm doing. It's the fact that here's a changed person that's not acting like to the rest of the world, and God is glorified by you who turned away from the old man. The good deed is God's deed because you surrendered to His will to be like Jesus. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Some like to rehearse what's happened in the past. They like to hold on to thoughts and rehearse those thoughts. They hold on to their anger, which causes them to rehearse how to get back at somebody. Of course, they never had courage enough in the first place to ever get back. But in a very passive-aggressive way, they withdraw. But they go over these things in their mind, how they would like to get back at that other person. How ungodly. Yeah, but you don't know what he did. Let it go. You don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't take that to sleep with you. Let it go. Move on. That doesn't mean you don't deal with it. That means you don't talk to the person about it. That doesn't mean that you don't try to help the situation. But don't hold on to it. It will cost you dearly. I thought Jesus said forgive. We'll talk about that Sunday morning. If you want to be forgiven. Well, you mean I have to let go of my anger? You know, you can return evil for evil without actually returning the actual act. Because see, what you do when you hold it inside and you go over it and over it and rehearse it how you get back with them, although you don't literally do something, you're returning evil for evil because that's impacted your relationship with them. And it can be obvious at times by your withdrawal, your distance, everything else. That's returning evil for evil. Don't you understand that, passive-aggressives? No. Who have you turned your heart over to? Jesus? If you have, You won't let the sun go down on your anger. Oh, I know, but it's not anger, Mike. It's hurt. No. You know, the hurt takes you into those memories, calls you to go back there and rehearse things and keep them in your mind and go back and back to them at times. That's anger. And you've been given the right to anger. He said, be angry. I can be angry. But He wants me to let the sun go down on it because He doesn't want the anger to control me. And be careful what you're angry about. What's your motive for it? Now, you understand that God's not going to be concerned about how much you did or how much you didn't do. He's going to be concerned why you did what you did and why you didn't do what you do. He's concerned about the motive, because the motive has to do with the heart. And the heart has to do with my faith. He said, and give no opportunity to the devil. You mean Satan takes advantage of me holding on to my anger. Hello? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and He will exalt you in due time. Humble's in the passive. That means you're the object that you're allowing Him to act upon you. And you cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Because if you don't, Satan, who walks around as a roaring lion, is seeking to devour the person that has not let go. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Well, why is it about the needs of others? Are you ready? Here it is. We're talking about that new life. Don't hold on to things that keeps you from living that new life for somebody else. You can put off the old and put on the new. And by the way, it is a choice. I guess that swings on whether or not I believe or not. You think that might be the problem? Faith in the church. Faith in your life. There are some things you need to repent of. Things you need to turn over to God. Things you need to let go of. People you need to start acting like Christ-like around, even though you don't like what they've done or how they've done it. Who are you and I to be the judge? Who are you and I to exact a debt? Only God can do that. Only God should be doing that. He says, let the thief no longer steal. Go down to verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. See, I'm not talking about cussing. Cussing is part of what's involved here, or bad words are. But corrupt talk. You manipulating another person to get them to do what you want to do is corrupt talk. Talking about someone, for instance, if I was to say, I like Kevin, but you know, I sure wish he would change this, this, and this. You are a corrupt person. Well, I wish, I like her, and another one, I'm talking about another one. I like her, but this bothers me. You are a corrupt person. That's corrupt talk. Saying something, setting somebody up, everything from flirting on down, corrupt talk. It's not of God. Jesus wouldn't do it. He wouldn't say it. See, these things many times are not preached in the church. We're so concerned about dotting the I and crossing the T, we're missing the life of Christ. Now, it's impacting us. And so you have all kinds of divisions for the lack of love and everything else and concern for one another. People out there are going lost. Churches aren't growing. I'll tell you why. It's because we're not walking the life of Christ. We've substituted it with religion. It's not what the apostles talked about, nor what Jesus talked about. He talked about a new life. I want that new life. I want to be that new way. I want to experience that. And because it frees me from the fear of rejection. It frees me from failed expectations. I have one expectation. God promised I'm going to go to heaven if I'll trust Him. Oh, yeah. Because people are going to let you down, man. Don't hang your expectations. They're going to let you down. But why do you have to go down with them? Why do you have to be like them? You be everybody's friend, even if they decide at some point they're no longer your friend. And I'll tell you what, you'll understand what Jesus was talking about. You'll understand Jesus. You will know Him. We're going to talk about more about that this week. Well, not week, this weekend. Verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. What do you mean grace? You mean extend unmerited favor by the way you approach people? Yes, yes, yes. Well, they don't deserve me to be nice. Because you've been given a lot of grace. Now, you just think for a moment how much God has put up with you in your life. Now, you know. And yet God has put up with every human being that's ever lived on this earth. Do you realize what God has put up with? And you and I want to whine and complain and be the victim? When I'm supposed to say things that brings grace into a person's life? Look, whenever God extended grace to me, He said, Mike, you don't deserve it, but I'm going to save you. I felt good about that. I still feel good about that. You're to do things that doesn't take the life from people. Quit stealing people's life. Quit being a thief and stealing their life by your ungodly, Christ-like approach because you feel justified in doing so. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. What do you mean grieve Him? Not put on the new self. That grieves the Spirit. Not putting on the new self. Putting off the old and putting on the new. Not being like Christ. That's what grieves the Holy Spirit. Not acting like Him, talking like Him, walking like Him. That grieves the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit's grieving over the condition of your soul because He wants you saved. And if you're like Christ, that sets you free of that old man that has been tugging on you. Boy, Paul got up and he said, I buffet the old man daily. Every day you get up, understand, there's a decision to make. Am I going to put on the old man or the new man? What clothing am I going to wear? The one that Christ gave me or my old garment? You want to be happy? You want to be blessed? You want to have less frustration, less anger? Make up your mind to be like Jesus. And whether the rest of the world decides to run off headlong into hell, don't go with them. If they want to rush off into some ungodly feeling that creates all kinds of things like frustration and depression and emptiness, don't go with them. You go with Jesus. Do it like He would do it. By the way, relax. God loves you. Don't get bent out of shape when people don't like you. Because are you ready for this? There's a lot of people that aren't going to like you. Now, there's one thing that I want to address in putting on the new man before I leave this session here in a few minutes. I call it indifferent behavior. Let me use a situation here. Rose, come over here and sit in this chair for me. Right here. Now, here we are over here, Rose, and we've been having a ball. Good time. And man, you want to come over here, you want to be a part of this so bad. But now you sitting there acting like, you know, you don't want to be a part. So we don't know that she wants to be a part. Now, she's waiting for us to come and say, she's waiting for me to come over. Come on, Rose, come over here and have something to do with it. See, she's waiting for that because that's safe. Because she doesn't like rejection. And you do this in relationships too, okay? She doesn't like rejection. So she's waiting, but now her body language is, well, I don't need y'all. I'm okay. Because see, she doesn't want the rejection. She's also defensive. So we don't know. So guess what? We can't read her mind, and we don't go. We just keep having a ball over here, okay? Now she's really ticked off, man. She's really upset. And the very thing that she didn't want to experience, which is rejection, she gets it all the time, every time she acts like this. Now, say she decided to come over. Okay? Now, you know, you just kind of come over on your own, Rose, and sit down here. Two things are going to happen. We'll do the first one. What you doing here? Well, we didn't ask you over here. You need to go back over there. We're fine. We don't need you over here. So now watch. She got rejected. And I could see it on her face when I did just what I did. Like, woo, man, I don't like that now. Come on back over here. Now, this time she's going to come on her own here. Hey, how you doing, Rose?
I'm good. How are you guys
doing? Oh, man, I'm glad you came over here. I wonder why you're sitting over here. Yeah. You want to go do some things with us?
Sure.
Yeah, all right. Now, look, if she takes the risk, 50% of the time, more than likely, she'll be received and only 50% rejected. If she doesn't, over 90% of the time, she will be rejected. The very thing that she needed in the first place, she doesn't get. But she's the reason for it. Don't do that with each other as spouses, brothers and sisters in Christ. Take the risk. I love it. thank you, hon. Thank you. But now, you know, I've read body language for years, and I know that Rose has been rejected in her life. Because when I did that initial rejection, you could see it. All of us have. And are you ready for this? It doesn't feel good, does it? But if you don't ever take the risk, that's all you will ever get. And by the way, with your husband and your wife, if you don't take the risk to say, look, I want to be a part right now. I want to be a part of it. You might be rejected at times, but you're also going to be received. But if you don't, watch, the distance grows further and further away. And the other one thing, well, she didn't love me. She never wanted to be around me, man. And that wasn't the truth at all. So don't do that to yourself. Last verse, and then we're going to close. 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. That's why you put on the new man, so you can impact the lives around you like Jesus did. You be everybody's friend, even when they don't want to be yours anymore. Well, I've enjoyed it. We're going to take a sharp break, come back at 11 o'clock. We're going to have a discussion period, you know, questions you'd like to answer, things you'd like to say. We can do that. And thank you for your attention. You're a very good audience. Thank you.